Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now, the Golf Underground is made possible by Mariner Wealth, helping you navigate your financial future. Star Companies KC, experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sana Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results, tailored perfectly to individuals' needs. Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia, where you'll score a double eagle on your next car or truck. Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford, nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens, put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, on to the program.
ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground with Kevin Ward and Brian Sullivan.
Hey, welcome to Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. Here we are back in the stable. There's been a lot that's happened, Bruno, since you and I met. We did our pregame show, our pre-master show, post-University of Kansas Jayhawk National Championship.
Oh, you mean the show when Greg Gurley had the dark horse pick of the year when he picked Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he really rolled the dice there. And, of course, you made a pick. George made a pick. And then Gurley made a pick. And I was kind of raising my hand to make a pick. And it never got to me. But in my fantasy, my ESPN Fantasy Masters gig, I too had Scottie Scheffler.
You did?
Why wouldn't you? My God, he's
on an absolute heater right now.
He's unbelievable. Now, tomorrow's a big day for me, Wardo.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow I jump on a plane and I head to none other than Pinehurst, of all places.
There you go.
And so, you know,
I
came in here today because, you know, I'm kind of fearful to take lessons from you because I don't want to be overly critiqued and I don't want to disappoint you.
I'm extremely full right now. So, yeah.
Oh, so you wouldn't have time for me?
I don't know. Maybe you should regrip that driver over there because the handprint is, I can see it from here.
Well, and that's because I've been gripping the club
all day. Is that why you brought the gosh darn driver in here to freaking regrip this thing?
Well, no, listen, I came in at 1 o'clock today and our own Michael Sinks, he put me on the simulator, totally whacked me out, right? He's got me going here and here and you know me, I'm a field player.
Yeah. Did you tell him, just let it be, it's a wet octopus falling out of a tree?
Well, I did, but I came with the intention of spending lots of money on a brand new technology driver. And he
talked you
at
out
the
of
end.
It.
No, he didn't talk me out of it. He went through about six different drivers. He had one driver we put weights in it, and even that went left on me. Finally, he said, "Well, let's try your other one." It went just as far, and he said, "I would feel guilty taking your money right now. You are way too broken."
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
doing solely a solid.
That was nice, but you know who's not broken? Harry Hillier.
Nope, he's not.
Tell the audience who Harry Hillier is and what he did so well this weekend.
Harry would be the younger brother of Charlie, the two New Zealand brothers. Harry just won an event at Iowa at Finkbine. I believe he shot six or eight under for 3 days. It was extremely cold up there, a little breeze. So good on him. Good on the Jayhawks. They got another win. I think they're roughly 20th to 25th in the country now. Moving strong, getting ready for the regionals. So it'd be fun. This team stacked for them, and I think they've won five times this year, both fall and spring. And so they're rolling into Big 12s on a high note, and then also they got the regionals, and then hopefully the nationals, which is now played at Greyhawk in Scottsdale, Arizona.
What do you have to do to be selected for these? I mean, is top 25 get you into some mixes where you can go play some tournaments? That would eventually get you to a national championship. I mean, is it like basketball?
What'll happen? There will be like a selection show, and there will be an East, West, and Central. There will be 30 teams at each site, and then 10 of those teams make it. So 30 teams will make it to the national championship.
Oh, that's cool.
Or at least that's how we used to do it. Sure.
Nice.
So,
well, and they're stacked. I thought last time we were there. Well, I was in Greyhawk and I saw the board up there. They must have done. I don't. It could have been when your wedding was. Did they do something like that in the fall? Maybe.
They had a preview show or a fall preview is what they call it. So they'll play that course in the fall, so some of those teams will get to see it before they play the national championship there.
Right. And our own Charlie took off to Brazil yesterday. What's he doing there?
He's got PGA Tour Latin, which will be, I think they go Brazil, Peru, and maybe Argentina. I might have switched those up. So three in a row for those guys traveling the globe. And just crazy the amount of travel and playing time those guys get. Chase Hanna took off for Spain. So we got a lot of guys on the road again. So just kind of lonely here at the stable.
So you probably have a gap. Maybe you could fix me.
Perfect.
Now, well, listen, if you're not fixing me, you can always fix the children. Perfect. Isn't it all about the children?
Wordo. It's all about the children.
Well, then, listen, we are blessed and honored to have our man, Todd Meismer. He's the director of U.S. Kids Golf here in Kansas City. And he's going to tell us all about how he helps create the environment for children to, number one, my assumption is to love the game. Number two, to create a whole bunch of memories. Three, to spend time with your parents on the golf course. Number four, make the golf professionals and the bartenders at these clubs very wealthy. Are those four pretty good strategic objectives, in your opinion, Todd?
Oh, they absolutely are. Yes. Growing the game, tournament golf for juniors.
So talk us back. I think you referenced it's been 10 years since you've, since the start of U.S. Kids or of you being involved here in Kansas City. Talk us back of how you got going, how you got involved, and what that's like now.
Okay. Yeah, I can't believe it's been 10 years. How I got going is my daughter was 7 years old, and there was no place for her to play in Kansas City tournament golf. She loved golf, and she didn't like soccer. So she seen all these kids playing soccer on the fields and like, Dad, why can't I play golf on a golf course against kids my age? So I found a tournament in Oklahoma City. I was driving her 5 hours one way to play 9 holes of golf. Oh, and on you're a Sunday, and I would drive her back home the same day, and she would go to, we'd get home about 3 a.m. She'd go to school the next day, and we did it for a year. And so, a long story short, I complained to U.S. Kids Golf that, hey, why don't we have a tour in Kansas City? And they asked me to start one, and that's how we started.
That's amazing.
You know, we started with 26, 28 kids, I think, our first event, and four girls on it. And now we're up to over 40 girls per event and around 130 kids per event.
Unbelievable.
So, nice. Was that sort of like a franchise? Was U.S. Kids?
It is not. I do it strictly pretty volunteer. Much volunteer on a basis. It's not. They are a nonprofit organization out of Atlanta, Georgia. They have tours around the country, and it's more for passion of the game, to get kids playing in tournaments. And the best part about it is parents get a caddy for their, kids out there on the golf course. So
that's so awesome. Is there a, age limit where the parents can or stop caddying? I think there was a break point in that.
U.S. Kids Golf, every tournament, you know, it goes from 5 to 18 in age. Every tournament, a parent's allowed to caddy if they want to. So don't have to, but they're allowed to.
And it doesn't have to be a parent. It can be a sister, a brother. Yep. I think you even had Gary Woodland out after he missed the cut one time out at Swope Park caddying for his nephew.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Did he really?
Yes, he was no out there way. Caddying and I think his nephew was 8 at the time and I think he almost got fired by Jace, but it's what he told me when I talked to Gary about it, but he had a great time. Yep.
So funny story. So before the leading up to this, Gary agreed to do it. And I think Gary saw what life was like on the other side of the bag because Gary's caddy, Gary's sister, Gary's family were all feeding him with nuggets of things that, you know, are PG enough for Jace, his nephew, to say to him. And so he was just riding him the whole time.
Yep.
Like saying, you can't read a putt. Hey, that was a terrible club. You know, all the stuff Gary gives his caddy. That's so pretty cool. Pretty cool deal.
That's funny. Well, I do think it's cool that you encourage the parents to be involved because that was a very purposeful decision. Right, no doubt in some room back in Atlanta, they sat around and said, should we or shouldn't we? Because there's two sides of this philosophy, right? And I think the perception, right or wrong, among so many sport or about so many sport parents is their lack of patience, their judgmentalness, their, and there's always this belief that the coaches are better in getting more out of the children. Those parents, they suck.
Yes. When we first started 10 years ago, I was amazed at the pro shops that would say, we sure don't like parents out on the golf course with the kids. So we need to keep them back at the clubhouse, you know? And, yeah. It has for U.S. Kids Golf. It's been very successful, very positive. I'm not saying that every parent should be out there caddying. There may be 1% that probably better off staying at the clubhouse, at the bar, or whatever, you know. But for the most part, it's just a wonderful experience for them.
So. Well, I would think it would increase the numbers. I'm thinking as a father of two daughters. First of all, as I was heading into the men's room, I heard a glorious statement from, it could have been your daughter, maybe your daughter's friend, who said, I gave up cheerleading for golf. Now,
yes. That was his other daughter.
That was your other daughter. Yes. And I perked up and I said, well, I have a dancer. I have two dancers and one cheerleader who forever I tried to get to pick up a club. But we live literally 100 yards from a driving range and could never get them to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, had they made the correct life decision without the influence of their mother, who I do love dearly, I would have put them in that mostly to spend time with them, right? And that's why I coached lacrosse for my son, and I coached the girls a little bit in lacrosse in high school, but it was only to be around them.
Yep.
And so what a gift it is to be able to spend, 4 hours or whatever, if it's nine holes, to a couple hours with your kid. That would make me want to be part of the program, which increases the numbers, doesn't it?
That's correct. It's absolutely amazing experience. We're out on the golf course when I caddy for my daughters, and I'm able to caddy for my daughter here next week in the U.S. Women's Open qualifier. So we talk about stuff unrelated to golf out on the golf course during a round, a competitive round. So it's just, she'll tell me what's going on at school, tell me about, boys that she's talking to or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it is pretty amazing. It is a special, special time.
Well done. Well done. So take us back into those early years as you started. You said you went from driving to Oklahoma to 20-plus kids. And of course you were flying by the seat of your pants as well, right? This is a whole brand new deal for you. Did they give you much instruction out of Atlanta with the experience that they had and
none.
What to do?
Right? None. On my own. Yeah. On my own. They do have, as far as the caddying process, U.S. Kids Golf has a wonderful, they have a positive coaching alliance. They like parents to take before caddying, which just to be positive with your child on the golf course. But as far as running the tour, I just going to tours myself was kind of where I learned. But it's been just a great experience, wonderful experience.
Okay, give us the absolute worst parental.
I was just going to ask that.
Take it.
So yeah, let's hear some. You have one worst or two stories where it's just like absolute mayhem between kid and, you don't have to say any names, but an instance where you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going down.
And if you're more comfortable role-playing it, we can do this and I could be the kid. And
well, let me, I'm going to just say one. Okay. One, I'm going to say one story I have. I was directing. I go out to Pinehurst every year spend about a month out there, and I help with the world tournament. But one child, and he has a famous tennis player sister. So anyway, he won this world championship 4 years in a row at Pinehurst, and he's Julia's age, 18 now. But at that time, I had another parent that was playing with him, and came up to me the next day and said, hey, this boy cheated. The mother dropped, he hit it into the woods. I've seen the mother drop the ball by her side out of her pocket. And, but I don't know the boy's name is what he said. And, it took me a couple hours to analyze this, and they wanted to disqualify this player, and I'm like, wait a minute. Says, you're playing with the number one junior in the world. You know his name and who he's playing with. think you're making that story up, but you do have that every once in a while, little stories like that. But that, as far as parents, I would say my parents are, I can't say I have great parents out there. I really do. But awesome. We keep things in line too. You know, I will say that.
Yeah. So was that, did it turn out that the parent that was accusing was lying, or was,
I still to this day think he was. Yeah.
Got it. So he was trying to point the finger at the number one player in the world.
And so this was like 8 years ago, just so you know. Yeah. Fast forward, I was just at a tournament this weekend in Phoenix, and this boy's name's Johnny. It's his dad. Well, sure enough, Johnny just won this big tournament in Phoenix. He's going to play at Oklahoma State next year. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's I didn't have a chance to go up to him and talk to him about it, but I wanted to. But, yeah, so.
So this was the kid who was accused is now going to Oklahoma State.
Going to Oklahoma State,
yeah.
I think he's probably got enough game to back it up if he's.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, listen, and, you know, I kind of appreciate his mother dropping a ball over there by the woods. I mean, I mean, we're trying to win championships here, Wordo.
Yes, we are.
Right? I understand you know, with the organization, you know, you're probably talk about integrity and, you know, the rules of the game and stuff like that, not fluffing it up.
Yep.
But so you being an expert of Pinehurst, so I'm assuming I can't fluff the ball tomorrow. I'm playing number two on Thursday, so that'll be nice. Well, so I'm going to play it legit. I'll do that for you, Coach.
Texas wedge. Putt it from off the green.
If you're with Patrick Reed, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be. I won't be with Patrick Reed. Now, it is an old Donald Ross design. Now, you know, the good news is that's where I grew up caddying on it, Donald Ross Golf Course. So
you and LaCava, right?
Me and LaCava, yeah. So you know, and you know me, I would never not hit a putter from 10 yards off the green to roll it up there anyway, because I will chili dip it if I don't. So this is right up my alley.
Yeah, this is right up your alley.
Yeah.
Hit it in the middle of the green. If you hit 10 greens, no, if you hit 8 greens, I'm setting the over-under at 8.
8?
And you can even play your little ladies' tees or wherever you want to play.
Oh.
Tee it forward, you know. That's the initiative we've been striving for these days.
Well, based on my driving distance here in the stable today, I'm going to have to play it forward.
238 with roll?
I did max out at 259. We couldn't quite get me over the 260 barrier.
But that's why you're a short game guy. I mean, you roll the rock.
Yeah.
And you move around nicely.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, let's take a commercial break. And I'm going to give you time, Coach, to, because you've lived at Pinehurst. You're going to walk me through. Tell me a little bit about the course, maybe some of the history, certainly, that has happened there. You've been close to all this. This has been fun for you.
Man, I'm blessed. Yes. I'm Pinehurst, amazing place. You know, kind of which course? I'm kind of getting to know all the courses there. Oh, so 4 total lucky. Redesign. Course number 4, number 2 for sure. I know everybody's favorite course is probably one of my favorite courses there, number 2. But they have hidden courses there.
I remember playing 7 and 8. They're all
8's another fabulous course. Yeah.
Where do they put them all?
They're just it's a monster piece of property.
It is. They're just fun. Spread out. It's just
amazing. You're going to love it.
Yeah, you really? Will. Yeah. You just tell me where you want to go. Tobacco Row is another a great course I hear out there.
I did hear that too.
Just, you know, the visual that you get off the tee.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Pine Needles, another one too.
Pine Needles, where it's going to be the Women's U.S. Open this year. So, yeah, very cool. Another fabulous course. I directed that course 1 year. Nice.
That's awesome. All right. Well, now you got me all excited. I didn't want to kind of get pumped up yet. I'm still in work mode a little bit now.
Yeah.
But when this, you know, and once this fight, actually, I'm already in a happy mode now because, you know, I met someone who's changing kids' lives. How can I not be happy?
Well, and I want you to go to Longleaf Golf Course in Pinehurst when you're there.
Okay.
And it is actually U.S. Kids Golf. They bought that course a few years back, and they put an academy there for kids.
That's very awesome.
And, it's an amazing place. And you were talking about, Kevin was talking about Play It Forward. They've developed a tee system out on that course on the driving range. There's yardage markers. So when you hit your driver, where you hit that driver to, you go onto the golf course, they have tee boxes where you should be playing from. So if you hit it to, it's like a number system 1 to 7. So if you hit it to number five, you should be playing number five tee box on the golf course.
Oh, nice. That's smart.
So this is kind of the new way it's going in golf. And
guessing based off your driving distance, we're probably going to set you at the seven.
Yeah, we'll go up to the seven. Well, I'm curious about this. So what is the expected distance for the second shot? So where do you try to put these kids? How far out based on their drive?
Well, we set up on the U.S. Kids Golf, we set seven different tee markers, tee boxes out for kids.
Right.
So,
So that's based on, okay, if that system works well, they should all be landing somewhat in the same distance for the second shot?
Yeah, they should be, but it's going to depend on the golf course, the dog legs, and yeah. You know, so really, that's kind of, just kind of depends on each hole, you know, so... what we don't want to do is set a six-year-old at the women's tee box and say, hey, this is where you should be playing from.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just not – they're going to get burnout.
Yeah.
They're not going to get it. So we would set like a six-year-old. We would put his drives at about 150.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of give you a guideline.
Makes sense. That's pretty all right, cool. Good. Hey, we're having a great time. Todd Meismer, am I saying that correctly?
You are.
He's the director of U.S. Kids Golf, Kansas City, changing kids' life. Hey, if you have a kid who maybe doesn't want to play soccer, doesn't dare grab the pom-poms and just start shimmying them around, she wants to try this great game of golf that has been a gift yet so depressing for so many of us, where can they learn more information?
Go to uskidsgolf.com.
All right, perfect. Or I imagine you can do, if you're local, you can put in U.S. Kids Golf, Kansas City, probably go right to.
Yeah, it'll pull up right there.
Right to Todd. All right, so come on back here on the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified or organic farms, prime-going regions, artists and producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked, honest, clean food.
Cowell Insurance Services is your leading program administrator for workers' compensation. They're dedicated to meeting the unique challenges of the insurance industry and assisting employers in reducing their costs. CIS has provided insurance claim and loss control services to various industries, including trucking, construction, retail convenience stores, and healthcare, as well as public entities for over 30 years. They work with both retail agents and industry clients, or a combination of the two. If you're tired of fighting the rising costs of premiums and claims, give Cowell Insurance Services a call. Their dedicated staff is ready to find you the best insurance option at the most competitive price. They can help to define or enhance your safety program in order to move you in the right direction in reducing your claim and premium costs. Contact Cowell Insurance Services today, 816-214-4070.
Hey, Brian Sullivan from the Golf Underground here with a little good news. And that good news is that even double-digit handicappers like me can occasionally make a double eagle. All right, maybe not on a golf course, but even guys like me can score when buying a new car or truck. I'm talking about two stores, two brothers and four generations, treating customers just like family. I'm talking about our buddies at Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia. With these guys, you'll always score two under with double the inventory and double the customer satisfaction. That's the Bobsite Double Eagle. Now, Bobsite offers a wide selection of vehicles and promise to make the car buying process as quick and as hassle-free as possible. Now, whether you have poor credit, no credit, or maybe a first-time car buyer, you can trust Bobsite Ford, and Bobsite Independence Kia will get you into the car or truck you choose with professionalism and attention to your needs. So go visit our buddies at Bobsite.com, but only if you're looking for a vehicle that makes you feel like a U.S. Open champion. Hey, welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio, back in the stable, Wardo Sully. And we're talking youth golf. You know, Wardo, we talk PGA, we talk web. We don't talk enough about the youth golf. And I know it's real important to you because when I walk into the stable, I see young kids, middle-aged kids, teenage kids all working out, right? You're making them physically fit. Then there's a kid right now, he's senior in high school from The Rock, who's busting at 290, 300. He's a sophomore.
Yeah.
And he's number one guy at The Rock?
He's one of their top players. He's a hell of a player.
Yeah. How long have you been coaching him?
He's been with us for about a little over a year. Again, it's great. What used to happen is we would get the kids a little too late oftentimes, especially on the girls' side, where, you know, you'd start working with a girl when she's a junior and her and her dad are kind of asking about scholarships and whatnot, which we can get into in the next segment. But it's really fun to see these kids. You know, I had a dad come by today, and his son's in eighth grade. I think he goes to St. Michael's, and he's going to go to Rockhurst next year, and his dad's super eager on getting his son in and getting him going. And so that's the fun part, is walking the journey and seeing them progress. And, you know, Todd's doing all the amazing stuff behind the scenes to grow the game, and we're just here to help facilitate a handful of kids and try to help, you know, them achieve their goals and whatever that might be, or if they want to play in college or junior college, or they just want to make a lifetime sport out of it, then it's all a win. And then, you know, the integrity piece and all that, it's just a great life skill that these kids are learning as early as six and 7 years old, where, you know, I got into it when I was sixth and seventh grade. And so that was a good thing for me, because I had a little bit of a late entree into it. So I had less time to quote unquote burn out.
Right.
It's amazing what these guys are doing, though.
That's awesome.
How early they're getting going.
So we're with Todd Meismer, director of U.S. Kids Golf here in Kansas City. And so, Todd, your daughter was one of the founding daughters of the system.
She's the first daughter.
The first daughter. It's a big honor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so now, what's her plan?
Oh, she's heading to the University of Arizona next year, or starting this fall, actually. Going to play golf there. So that's kind of her next step. We have tournaments lined up all through the summer for her. We have a full schedule. So now we're traveling quite a bit, getting into bigger tournaments, multi-day tournaments. So, but that's our journey.
And what's her long-term goal in the game?
Long-term goal would be she would like to play professionally, would be her long-term goal.
You think she's got a shot at it?
I think every player, every child has a shot at it. Yes, I mean, I think she does. You know, it's a commitment on her part. She does like to practice. She loves to play, loves to compete. So, yes, I think she does.
That's awesome. Would she have you caddy for her? If you imagine that very first LPGA tournament, she gets on that tee box and she has you there. I mean, do you ball up in the locker room? Do you ball up for the first shot? Like, when do you think you start really crying like a baby?
I caddy for her in some events. We played some women's amateur events this through the winter in Florida, and you know, I'm on her bag for her, and you know, my big thing is I want to give her the best opportunity to win. I don't think I'm the best caddy. I think there's people that can read greens better than me, but she wants me there. So,
oh, that's awesome.
So, and then next week, like I said, we're doing the U.S. Women's Open qualifier. So I have to caddy 36 holes in a day. And that one's in St. Louis. Last year we did the Women's Open qualifier in L.A., and we missed it by 6 strokes getting in. So, and that was 36 holes in a day. So, but yeah,
it's a grind. The 36 hole qualies to get in, but that's the longest day in golf, and it's sure fun on both the men's and women's sides.
So. Got any tips you'd give her, Wardo, having been down this Open journey?
You know, to be honest, you just gotta patience. You hate to say it, but it's just like, and then just. It's a marathon that day, and so try not to get too up and down, and then nourishment, eat food, water, stay, you know, and just go get it. And again, it's like Doesn't matter what the site is, doesn't matter what the golf course is or where you go, usually the best players that day get through.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just got to bear down, and those are the hardest days I've gotten to two sectionals before, never made the U.S. Open, and then I've gotten through one U.S. amateur, which is also a 36-hole day qualifier. So, they're brutal. She's going to sleep well that night.
Yep. Well, in the women, it's 36 holes, and in the site we're at, the four players are in, that the low four. So there's no other sites, you know. So wow,
that's nice.
But like you said.
So let's shift gears a little bit. We talked about the break, during the break, about kind of the economic impact of what junior golf, U.S. kids golf, and just the growth of the game, whether it's related to COVID or not. Talk through what that looks like here at the local level, and even maybe a little bit more in the national level of what you've seen at some of the bigger events.
Well, I'm more of an outsider, so I didn't go through the PGA program, and so I came in from a construction background, building background. So I'm looking at it from the outside on what I have seen and what I've learned about the game, you know, as juniors playing golf. You know, for when I got into it 10 years ago, there was a downturn, as everybody knows, in golf. Golf courses were closing, and they were trying to fill up tee sheets. And so I really feel like, you know, like U.S. Kids Golf has really generated a new, you know, demand for golf, for kids, getting kids on the course. And now they're adults, you know, you have players that were 16, now they're 26, you know, years old, and they're still playing golf. So anyway, economic part, I have seen that, you know, we fill up a course, we bring parents there, you know, you're bringing a couple hundred parents out at an event. They're selling, they may be selling memberships, you know, if they're out there. If you notice the industry, they're now getting more families into golf. So it's just not like the guys going out there meeting their buddies. So they're more catering to families is what I've seen.
That's awesome. So when these families are coming out, you got the dads might rent a cart, or the parents or the grandma, or multiple carts. And then you've got maybe dad might grab a couple pops at the turn, especially if little Tommy isn't going as low as he wants.
Yeah. Exactly. I see parents out there, you know, they're as far as the revenue part, they're renting carts, they're buying concessions, they're spending money in the pro shop, you know, on shirts, or maybe they forgot their umbrella that day, and umbrellas and jackets and shorts. So yes, it's definitely been a different part of the market, I think, that more golf places have to look at.
So on the national level, you referenced kind of, obviously there's a big tournament or events at Pinehurst for a couple of weeks that I think you spend a lot of time at, or the entire time at. Talk through what the economics look like of just that event alone.
The numbers we get out at Pinehurst, it's a world tournament that U.S. Kids Golf has out there at Pinehurst every year. So it's about 2 weeks. So what they do is they play the older kids the first week, so ages 12 to 18 the first week, and then the younger kids the second week. So total about 2,300 players from 50 countries around the world. So jeez, as far as an economic place, for one, let's start at the players flying into the airports and renting the cars, you know, for the city of North Carolina. And then the hotels that they're spending, you'll go out there and about every hotel is sold out in Pinehurst during that time. Then the restaurants that are filled up. And then if you go into Pinehurst, the pro shop, which you'll be in next week, is massive, and it is, the line is unbelievable, the merchandise that is being bought through there.
So you're telling me there's a line at a Pinehurst pro shop, but you could go into Caesars in Las Vegas or any casino and there's never a line to check out at the cage?
No, there's not.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a line at the cage in a casino?
No.
Yeah.
Nor have I ever waited in line to hit golf balls on a practice tee range. I haven't waited there either. So,
yeah. So it's just unbelievable. So as far as the numbers that I have heard, that since now that U.S. Kids Golf has had tournaments there, I think, for 12 or 13 years in Pinehurst, it's been over $10 million a year economic impact to the city of Pinehurst. It's just been incredible. And then you have families that are buying houses there now. And so it's changed the real estate market in Pinehurst.
That's crazy.
That would have been a smart move 10 years ago when you started doing this.
I know.
Could have gotten your own little chalet right there off of number four.
I know.
You could have just had the Meisner real estate going with just all kinds of rentals going in there.
Absolute.
If I just
didn't have to spend all my money traveling with my child around the country playing tournaments, yeah.
Are you going every weekend?
Just about. Yeah. We just got back from Phoenix yesterday or 2 days ago or, yeah, whatever. I lose track. So
they were at the Scotty Camp. You're out at
Titleist Center. Yeah.
So I think Chase Hanna was the day before.
Yeah, that's what Julia said. Yeah, so we were at the Titleist Performance Center in San Diego last Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we went into Phoenix for a tournament Thursday through Sunday. So
holy cow!
And then we're leaving. Yeah, like I said, next week I think we're in St. Louis, and then we go back to Phoenix in 3 weeks for another tournament. So
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is she loving it more now than ever?
She loves it. Yep.
All right. So what advice would you give to a dad to successfully give her the best entree to the game? Obviously, Sully may have failed a little bit, and he's got a daughter that's in a golden girl at Missouri. But what advice would you give to a dad?
Well, I have two spectrums of children, I have to say. I have, as far as in the golf, playing golf, I have one that has always loved it. And we've always tried to keep it fun. And if we travel somewhere, we try doing something different than golf, you know, like Phoenix, go see the Grand Canyon or kind of break it up. So always keep it fun. And I have a daughter that's a freshman, and she's been into cheer, as you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And now she says she wants to play golf. So we've always had her play in these one-day U.S. Kids Golf tournaments. She's always played in them, but we've never pushed it for her to travel and play. But now I think she wants to get into it and play golf full-time. So keep it fun. One thing about the U.S. Kids Golf, they meet friends, and I think they need to meet friends out on the golf course for somebody to play with. I think that helps.
I think that's huge. And that was the best part for me growing up, or whether it's whatever level you're playing at, is the kids and the competition and the lifelong friends you make. And what's cool about our sport is I have friends that I've known when I was 16 that were 40 at the time or 45, and now fast forward 20 years and we're still friends. And so you're not going to get that with basketball or a lot of the other sports where now you have lifelong relationships.
And what's amazing, you can still go out and play golf with them.
Exactly.
You know, and have a good time. And so it is just truly a lifelong sport. I mean, it's, you know, and I, you know, love soccer, love basketball, love all the other sports. But, you know, I see players that get into high school like soccer and you know, they have knee problems, they're done at 15 years old or whatever, and it's a great sport. I'm not putting it down, but golf is just amazing. And I have more parents that come up to me to this day and said, you know, Todd, I wish I would have listened to you when my daughter was in sixth grade and you were trying to get her to play golf, you know, and I do. I mean, multiple parents. And,
oh, of course.
But it's a great game.
Well, and flipping the script now, how do you – as a parent, here's how I would sell it to a parent, right? Because I want more kids in the game. I think that's more growth.
Yeah.
If Tommy chooses soccer, basketball, baseball is the worst in terms of time. Guess what those weekends look like for those parents?
Yeah. Yep.
Baseball diamond. We got a doubleheader, and if we lose, we play at 6:30 the next day, and if not, we And so I think golf, what's cool about golf is if the parent wants to watch every hole or whatever, great. And if, you know, my mom would drop me off the golf course and just say, all right, we'll see you tonight type thing. And so,
yes,
that was the best part about it.
Well,
it's on both sides.
And it's been amazing where golf has taken me as a parent. You know, I mean, I've been to Augusta twice with my daughter. She's putted on the 18th green at Augusta, you know, wow. And she's hit balls on the driving range at Augusta and chipped and it's just been incredible the places we've got to go to.
That's awesome. Amazing.
What would be the one life lesson that you think she's gotten from the game? Now, this could be anything from patience to anything, right? Things that, let's say she gave up golf tomorrow, at very least, she is this as a result of it.
I think one life lesson is you are your own official, the rules. She knows. She has, the integrity and knowing that when you breach a rule, you have to call it on yourself. I would think that life lesson, it really has taught her honesty. And, perfect example is about a month ago, she was in a tournament and she didn't write down the right score on the last hole. So she thought she shot one under par and she shot par, and we got to the car and I says, that last hole you took, you know, you actually took a double on, right? Or I asked her what she got and she said, I was one under. I said, I think you were even. And she dropped her head, ran inside and told them, and she, disqualification, and took us out of two rounds, you know, next two rounds. So
good for her.
And so I think that lesson, you know, is what I'm proud of her on.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. I love that.
Well, and she learned the hard way on that we use for all these simulators. We use these reflective dots to pick up data on the club head. And I think Todd referenced they're going to now change the rule, but it's a stroke penalty or disqualification if you play multiple holes with it. And so they're going to change that rule?
Yes, yes. As of this month, it's changed. So
wait, I'm confused. It's what?
So there's dots to go on for simulators for on the club head, especially for foresight. And if you don't remove the sticker from your club head, they're, for whatever reason, deem that as helping, you know, or training aid or whatever. And so,
oh, wow.
So we learned that the hard way. Yeah. We were in a women's AM event this winter and we were in the final, she made it on the fourth day to the final group. She's in third place. And, I was caddying and anyway, a caddy on the 10th hole grabbed her driver and said, what's this dot on there? What's this little dot on your driver? And, I thought it was part of the club. I didn't realize, you know, see, that's why I shouldn't be caddying probably, you know, but should have seen that. But anyway, it was disqualification by the rules of golf. When she got in on hole to do her scoring, they disqualified her for that.
Wow.
And, just brutal.
You know, that dropped her women's amateur ranking. That would have probably got her into the women's AM at Augusta, and it dropped it like 200 places, you know, for that. So, so that's a lesson.
Big lesson.
That's a learn, you know, that's a life. It's a tough lesson.
Sure.
Maybe not fair. You know, maybe it's unfair.
Sure.
You know, but it's just, you know, it's the way life is, you know.
Well, so. And a little bit, I take that on myself, right, where these kids come in and I just, some things I may know where they don't know what they don't know. And so every kid that's walking through now, take it off before your tournament. Take them off before your tournament. Take them off before your tournament. So
yes. Well, in the USGA, which is a totally another segment I get on rules, but you know, it's great that this month that there has been some pro players that have had that same problem in disqualification recently. So it's where that rule is where it should be if something affects the performance of the ball. And it's where the rule hasn't caught up with technology. So, 100 years ago, they didn't have these flight stickers and computers.
Launch monitors,
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so it's great that they're making a change now to it. So
love it.
All right, should we take a commercial break?
Yep.
You don't happen to have any rapid fire in your back pocket, really ready to?
Of course, I could conjure some up. Yeah, I mean, I want to talk about the recruiting process.
We're going to talk about the recruiting process right after this short commercial break because they're listening to the Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.
Hey, Brian Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you get a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, I've had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Limack. Come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love, and we actually care and listen to our patients and follow up with them, make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay, and so the three things that separate you, number one, best training. Number two, you specialize in getting people on that field. Number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in, and I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At sanoorthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Hi, this is George Brett, Hall of Fame baseball player, and I've been playing golf for over 35 years. Hitting the ball far was never my problem, but the closer I got to the greens, that's when my problems began. When I wanted a golf practice area in my backyard, I called Celebrity Greens. They are the industry leader in custom-built synthetic golf greens. These championship-caliber, low-maintenance greens roll great, react like real bent grass, and hold chip shots that check and spin. I absolutely love mine, not only in Kansas City, but also in Arizona. Call the pros at Celebrity Greens at 1-888-507-7960 or visit them online at celebritygreens.com. Practice like the pros or people like me that want to be pros right in your own backyard.
Hey, Brian Sullivan, Golf Underground, with a little tip for you. If you're looking to buy a new Ford, you have to check out my buddy, Jason Gudenkauf at Lewisburg Ford. They've been saving Midwest Ford buyers thousands of bucks for over 40 years. Because they do business the right way. They sell everything, check this out, for $50 over invoice. That's simple and cheap. And they win a lot of awards. In fact, they won Ford's President's Award 17 times. That's the top Ford award. And they only give it to dealers with superior customer satisfaction in sales and service. So they know how to take care of customers better than anybody. Now, what these guys know how to do also, keep this in mind, sell trucks. Lewisburg Ford has sold more F-150s than any other Ford dealership in greater Kansas City. That's 2 years running. And last year, they were the number one F-150 sales leader in the entire state of Kansas. So, no hassle. $50 over invoice pricing, unparalleled customer satisfaction, and a huge selection. That's a perfect recipe for selling trucks. So, check out all their inventory and prices online at lewisburgford.com or give them a call at 816-444-2300.
New golf clubs, a big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160 for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money. 816-353-2160 or visit starcompanieskc.com.
Do you have retirement dreams about perfecting your swing and spending your time on the green? Or maybe you have a bucket list of golf courses you'd like to travel to. Whatever your financial goals are, Mariner Wealth Advisors is your advocate. We take the same care in understanding where you stand today as we do in understanding where you want to be in the future. Then, we help you set a personalized plan to help you achieve your long-term vision. Contact Mariner Wealth Advisors today to start your financial planning journey. Visit MarinerWealthAdvisors.com to find a location near you.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. Hey, Wardo, you know, I was just thinking here, because we got the box, and we're not playing any music.
I miss it.
Although, you know, the edited version that our fine listeners listen to, you know what song they just listened to? What's your favorite bumper song ever?
I don't know that. Which one? The Cruel?
Come on. No. You're close. You're close.
I don't know.
Isn't it that one, I saw the sun?
No, it's Cruel Summer or whatever by the same artist. I don't
know. What's the name of the band? Come on.
I'm blanking out.
This is my rapid fire to you.
I don't know. Can't remember. It's been so long.
It'll hit me. All right. Well, so listen. Hey, we're talking kids golf, and we're having a great time. Wardo, you wanted to take this because we've got Todd Meismer. He's director of U.S. Kids Golf here in Kansas City. He not only had the vision to bring this program to Kansas City, maybe selfishly so we didn't have to drive to Oklahoma.
Yes.
But the real win is if you think of the number of kids' lives you've affected. And this, you know, that's one of the great things about being a coach or an organizer of things like this is, you know, even if I look back to, you know, high school sports or college sports, and, you know, those are the folks you remember. Right. I mean, it's who affect your life. Right. And you know, affect, you know, my college, small school back in Pennsylvania, you know, I played college lacrosse, but all these guys, I graduated 32 years ago. All my guys are going back to Gettysburg this weekend to get together because they've been around a game, and the game is the leader. And we go back to worship our coach. That's what you've done. You've done this for so many people, and that's got to make you feel pretty special.
Oh, it's been wonderful. It's wonderful seeing the being 10 years now. I'm seeing the rewards of these kids. You know, now young adults getting college scholarships, getting it paid for, you know, their mm-hmm. school on something they love to do, and extremely rewarding for sure.
And the other thing too, we haven't touched on this, but I've heard a lot about it since I was in school, is Title IX, right? And so on the women's side, for every, you know, because of football and the bigger sports, women have more college golf scholarships available for each team. I think men are still at 4.5, and I believe women are at
5.5. Yep.
Is it 5.5?
Yeah, 5.5.
It used to be 7. Wow.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I think what's cool is the fact that it opens up so many opportunities for scholarship, et cetera, on both the men and women's side. So talk us through your kid, and you want your dad, your parents don't know anything. What do you do? It's almost summertime. What do you do to enter tournaments? Where do you start?
You, so, you know, depends on the age, but, you know, if I were, I guess it doesn't, any kid, I would put them in, if they're just starting out, what I do is I tell parents, put your child in playing tournaments. I said, I don't care where it's at, have them play, have them compete. Have them play. And I think that's the biggest thing, because I have parents come to me that say, my child's not ready. My child's not ready. Well, they're never going to be ready mm-hmm. because, you know, I tell the parents, it doesn't matter what they shoot at on the golf course. It doesn't matter. Just get them in tournaments and keep playing.
And so, don't throw your club, and you better play fast.
Play fast.
Or ready golf. You're grounded and you lose your phone. Very simple. Yeah. No TikTok for you.
Speaking of playing fast, how do you, because I'm gonna play devil's advocate here on the parents caddying. How do you keep pace of play up on a 120 player field? How do you keep the pace of play at a decent clip when you got dad over there trying to plumb bob every putt?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. That's something we work on every week. And I actually, you know, have a place pace of play chart that I use. So, I actually, every group, you know, I know that, you know, we try checking them at like holes 4, at holes 9 and 13. And so that's kind of our guide. We go out and talk to them if they're behind pace of play. And we want them accountable. We want the players to play by the rules, whether they're 6 years old or 18. We want them to learn pace of play. Very important.
So what, in your opinion, is too long? I know every golf course is different. Is it a 18 holes, is it a 4.5 that you think it's dragging? Or is it 5? What's your number where you're just like, this thing is dragging?
Over 5 hours dragging. But you got to remember, you have kids that are just starting the game playing golf out there. And my thing is, I want to keep them moving and learn pace of play. I don't want to sit there and threaten them with stroke penalties. But our rule of thumb is 40, what the USGA uses, 40 seconds between shots, you know, for your shot. Be ready. And we really, you know, I would say with 125 players, we will run 30 minutes maybe behind our pace of play, which is not bad with that many players.
Got it.
Well, I suppose it's teaching them, it's the non-golf stuff is where you can speed up a lot of that, right? So not encouraging them to hurry up over the ball, but, you know.
Exactly.
Let's get to that ball, get your stance going, take your one swing.
Yeah.
And do your thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and for the parents, you know, just for the new parents that may be listening that want to get into golf, and, you know, yes, it's a learning process for them. You know, they tend to want to help their children a little bit too much, and we work on that, you know, out on our tour.
All right, fast forward. So that same kid that came to you, fast forward, he's 16 years old or 7, you know, sophomore, junior, and high school, looking to potentially play in college. What advice do you give him on how to get his name out there?
I would say look for USGA qualifying events, the USGA Boys Junior or Girls Junior qualifying event, the PGA Junior qualifying event. It happens if you make it to the national event, there's a lot of college exposure at those events. So, you know, you probably have at the U.S. Girls Junior and Boys Junior and the PGA national events, you probably have every college coach that has a program in the country that's out there watching at those national events. So I think those are two, in my opinion, two of the top priority events to play in. And then there's another organization, AJGA, the American Junior Golf Association. And it is really hard to get in the events, but once you get into them, it would take a whole hour to explain. It's a star-rated system to get into it. You earn stars to get into events, and it's. But those are great events for college exposure.
Love it. So when I was playing AJGA, or when I was a youngster, I wasn't very good, and I luckily it was a little bit of the kind of old, you know, the point system back then, which meant, you know, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out type thing. And my brother's best friend worked for the AJGA. So I got in, they luckily got me into one event and I played well. And so I got into, I think I ended up playing in 10 to 12 of them, but a great tour for kids growing up and a lot of college coaches, you know, looking at those players. But I think also too, you know, winning on a local level or competing on a local level to get your name. I don't think every kid needs to jump straight from, you know, zero to AJGA. I think playing at a local level and throughout the city or the state is also a very important thing so that you can get experience, learn how to compete, learn how to win if need be. But I think that's important that a lot of kids are, everybody's aspiring for this shiny object of AJGA, and again, you have to get there.
You have to get there, yeah. And Central Links. So what I see kids do is go from our U.S. Kids Golf to our, it used to be the Kansas City Golf Tour. It's Central Links now, and they're mostly one-day events. They do have a couple two-day events. That is a great step from U.S. Kids Golf. And I would say from Central Links, working your way into the AJGA. Mm-hmm. So what I did with my daughters, we always tried supporting local. You know, we tried, you know, and, you know, we tried local events and, you know, multi-day events. And then, you know, we later branched out into the AJGA. So
growing up, it was pretty cool because played public courses. And at the time it was the KCGA, which is now they merged with the Kansas Golf Association.
Yep.
And every Monday throughout from about June 1st to late mid August, you would have a, you'd play, you know, you'd go to Mission Hills one Monday, then to Indian, then to Brookridge, then, you know, all the different clubs. And then at the top 16 players off of points or results would then go on at the end of the summer and play a match play setup. And like, that's what I loved doing. I thought it was so fun, so cool to go compete. And
yes,
I mean, so many great players that, you know, growing up here in town. So,
well, it was fun as a parent too. Even my son who didn't stick to golf. He did it, for, I think, maybe for 3 years. And I would just drop him off at Indian and say, I'll see you later. And, you know, he'd go right off. He'd walk and do his thing. But part of that, whether you get out of your car and go spend time with them, there's still benefit. And the reason I say this is there might be a listener or mom who might say, hey, geez, I'm working all the time. This probably can't, I can't follow my kid everywhere. I can't. Yep. So this doesn't sound like it's for me. And I would say, no, it really still is, because you got a kid now, like caddying, right? So caddying, what a gift it is to be around successful people and learn the game, the value, and right, all the life things you learn.
Yes,
Same thing this. When you show up on a golf course, things like rules matter, things like how you control yourself matter, discipline matters, communication skills, looking people in the eye and shaking their hand matters. Those are all things that they're going to get, even if you're not there, because the community is one who takes care of each other. You know, I always say, you know, you want to be successful, you hang out with successful people. You want to be a good kid, hang out with good kids.
Yes.
And this is a spot to do.
Yes, and I have great group of kids. And speaking of that, you're talking about moms. I even have moms that go out there and caddy for their kids, and they know nothing about golf, but they're out there learning. And they're usually intimidated the first time they go out there and caddy for their child, because they're afraid. They don't know anything, you know. And after a few times out, they're having such a good time out there. But you're right. It's been an amazing group of kids. I go out and I'll watch a couple high school events per year, girls and boys. I'm amazed, you know, kids come up to me, hey, Mr. Meismer, you know, and I don't recognize them because they've grown like a foot, you know, but it's just such polite kids. And, you know, it's just a great group of kids.
Well done. All right. You want to rapid fire them?
Yeah, should we give him the little rapid fire?
I think you should rapid fire him right now.
All right, are you ready, Todd?
Boy, let's do it.
You know what? We normally make this. We're gonna let you off. It's like we're gonna make this a little short course. Okay. Normally we go 9, but I don't want to put you on the spot for too many questions. So we're gonna bring you the Sheridan's Unforked, Eating Good, Feeling Good.
It's just rapid because fire. You didn't want to come up with 9 questions. You bastard.
I got some questions for him. I'm gonna stump him a couple times. Like I stumped Bill Self that one time. Remember? All right. So you've seen a lot of great players play. Who's the best player other than your daughter that you've seen play on the women's side?
Oh, on the women's side.
See?
Boy, that is deep. Okay, best player like anywhere.
Anywhere.
A sophomore in high school, Anna Davis, just won the women's AM at Augusta and is my daughter's good friend.
Wow. That's
from
amazing.
California, and she's a sophomore.
Cool. That's impressive.
Yep.
All right. On the men's side, maybe a kid that came up through your program.
Davis Cooper, KU.
There you go.
See, now that's a rapid answer.
That's a rapid answer.
That's a rapid fire answer to a rapid question. We
had
never
a good
get
year
that.
Last fall.
Yeah. He's so, had it. He's done very, yeah, very well. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Where is he now?
Yeah. KU.
He's playing for the Jayhawks.
Yeah.
Oh, is he number one guy over there?
He's on the
pretty
starting squad.
Close. Yeah, starting squad. Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Top five. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
He grew up through the U.S. Kids Golf every week playing with his dad on the bag for him.
That's
so
awesome.
The one thing that Julia Meismer, your daughter, needs to work on in her game.
Putting.
Ooh. Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, she's come a long way. She has.
And I know everybody needs to work on putting, and it's
the great equalizer.
It is we're at a point we need to develop confidence, you know, and think that's a big thing.
So your daughter that's a freshman that's getting into the game, if she could take away one of Julia's attributes, it would be what?
If she could take away learning how to make a shot in golf, the more the thinking, if she could take that away, you know, Julia has a great awareness on how to make a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that makes sense, but, you know, just a lot of factors, you know, wind, elevation, you know, maybe have to shape a shot. But if she could take that away, she's going to do great.
I love it. All right, I got two more for you.
Okay.
You've been all over the globe watching your daughter play. One golf course that just sticks out where you're like, gosh, I want to go back, or it's like your happy place where when you get there on property, you're like, this place is awesome.
Oh, gosh. It's the Indianapolis, the Crooked Stick.
Yeah.
John Daly.
And we are going, but yeah, John Daly's course when he showed up there and
won it
in his beat up BMW or whatever. And yeah, won it. But anyway, Crooked Stick, she played there last summer, and we're going back in June to play it. We love the course. We didn't play good last year, but we want revenge on it. So
I love it. All right, and your final, maybe we could have this at Crooked Stick, your dream foursome.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question. Gosh darn.
You I told you
there.
They could be dead too.
Yeah, could be. I would love to play with Donald Ross.
Nice.
Because I would pick his brain on what he's thinking, his big thing, because when you play number two out there on hole number three is his old house. Off to the left, so you'll see where he has the balcony. They say he used to sit out there and watch people putt and figure out how to trick them out, you know. So, I think that would be a great one. And always want to play with Tom Watson because he's been really good to my daughter, and we were at Augusta, and he was on the driving range hitting when she was there, and he went over and talked to her, and, you know, so he's just been a great supporter of junior golf, you know, so. Gosh darn, I'm stumped on the other one, so.
Let's just throw in maybe your freshman-to-be in college here at Julia Meismer, maybe.
Yes, that would be great. That
or she could caddy, or maybe we'll make it a five.
That would be great. For sure, have to have her there playing. Yeah. Yep.
Well, good. Well, this has been awesome. And again, it's thanks for what you do for the game, right?
Yeah,
because you're welcome. Love it.
You know, I mean, you're trying to grow the game, but I think beyond that, you're creating a ton of memories that will last a lifetime. And this is like a tree, man.
So these parents going to talk to you into 10 more years of this?
I'm not sure. I love it. And I, you know, it gets to be like a long year, but then going through the winter. And let me just do a throw out here. I have Ray Stawinski is just amazing. He's helped me at every one of these events. Wow. He's a retired PGA pro. He goes out there and sets the course up. He starts all the players. He announces their name, every group. And so he's been an amazing driving force with me. You know, there's no way I could do this without him. So, you know, I have a few more years in me. Ray, as long as Ray's there with me, we're doing it together. So
you want one piece of advice from me based off what my parents told me?
Always.
The best time of your life. Well, you've had some great times, but we'll be following Julia and going to college events and meeting and hanging with all the other parents and doing dinners and drinks and the whole nine yards. Like, that was what my parents loved to do. And they probably only went to 3 or 4 events a year, but they absolutely, was their Super Bowl.
I cannot wait. And we already have it. We already have it planned out. They have an event at University of Kansas, KU. Oh,
nice.
They have one in Nashville we're going to. They have one in Chicago, so we're making plans. And then we're making plans to go to Hawaii for the Pac-12 tournament. So
amazing.
And I actually have an older daughter that's 31 that's going to get married, and she's going to get married out there at that same time this year. So we're making a trip. So we're looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Don't check your checking account after this.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, like you said, without all of these trips, he'd have a house in Pinehurst.
I know.
Right
I would
now.
Have one. Yeah.
You're so selfless.
Like, yeah. I have to just go apply for another credit card. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we'll keep in touch and keep us posted on these up and comers, certainly how your daughter's doing. We'll keep a good eye on her here at the underground. We will tell you that if we get it to a point where she's willing to be on the Golf Underground, we'd love to have her, because most athletes who come on this program go on to do amazing things.
Great.
Well, he's not an athlete necessarily, but we had Bill Self on the show this fall.
Yeah, won a championship. You know, yeah, right.
He won a championship. Right. We had Harry Higgs.
Harry Higgs hasn't won. He's had a
pretty good run.
JT Poston.
Yep. JT Postman.
Right.
He won. Gary Woodland.
Woodland won the U.S. Open after being on the program. Darius Rucker cut a new song after he was on the program. And
I
guess that's pretty much it. But since we started doing this three years ago, I haven't won a net club championship since.
So this maybe we need to interview you.
This has had a negative impact on my golf swing.
Yes. Same.
All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed it. That's the director of U.S. Kids Golf, Kansas City, Todd Meismer. If you got kids, just go to the website, uskidsgolf.com.
And let's get good.
Let's get good. Because when you're playing good golf, you're happy, you're smiling. And when you're not, you're absolutely miserable. When I come back next week, you'll know what it's like to have played crappy golf. So come on back. You're on the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.